Say it again. Bone marrow. All right. You guys are just dead. So, everyone stand up. All right. Bone marrow. Now, does bone marrow produce fully mature neutrophils, or does it go through a process? Goes through a process. So what's the first thing produced? Neutrophil blasts. What's next in the step? Then bands. What's after that? Segs, or segmented. So if you have an increase in segs, you have a shift to the right. If you have an increase in bands, you have a shift back to the left. Oh. Yes, there's a reason for the madness. So anytime you see white blood cell counts high, you're going to automatically think infection. If what's elevated is neutrophils, you're going to think bacterial infection. And if there's a shift to the left, you're going to think that infection is more severe. More severe. Or perhaps has lasted longer. You get paranoid in your old age. All right. So neutrophils are the predominant phagocyte in early inflammation. Within 1 to 2 days, neutrophils are swarming. For the first 2 days, neutrophils are swarming all over the place. Macrophages, not so much. If the infection doesn't get cleared within those first 2 to 3 days, then macrophages start becoming the more predominant. But phagocytes are the first ones there. They arrive within hours, and their job is to eat the little bacteria and then die. How many bacteria can they typically eat before they die? One, two. So 1 to 2, and then they die. You can think of them as kamikaze troops. All right, so they are in charge of removal of debris, eating bacteria, and preparing the site for healing. This should be on the line above it. They only live for about 4 days, so your body is constantly producing new ones. And you have a very large reservoir in your marrow. Now, that reservoir is composed primarily of bands and blasts that are about to become bands. So you've got, I think the estimate is more than 100 times the number of circulating neutrophils held in reserve in your blood, being trained to fight in the bone marrow than in the blood. They die 1 to 2 days after migrating to the inflammation site. So they don't last very long. Next one is eosinophils. Eosinophils usually only 1 to 4% in the blood. They mostly just live in tissues. Their primary purpose is to fight worms, parasites. But they're also highly associated with allergies. And in this country, because we don't really have that many parasites that affect humans anymore, because our hygiene is so wonderful now, most of what you're going to see in this country in terms of eosinophils is going to be allergy problems. We don't know how long they live because so few of them actually live in the blood. The next one is basophils. These are even more mysterious than eosinophils. We think that they're in charge of fighting fungus, but we're not really sure. They are also associated with allergic reactions. And they're very similar in structure to mast cells. Again, lifespan is unknown. So out of those three granulocytes, which is the one you're most commonly going to be concerned with? Neutrophils. So for the most part, as nurses, we can pretty much ignore eosinophil and basophil counts. What we really want to know are neutrophil counts. Which brings a... Before we move on, I want to talk about a very important... Okay, we'll do it now, because repetition is the beginning of memory, right? Okay. There's a concept known as absolute. Absolute neutrophil count, ANC. Now, how do we say that we report white blood cells on a differential? Say again? By percentages. So if we have a WBC count of 5,000, and we have polys or segs, let's say the segs are 50%, and the bands are 10%. Can you find out how many total neutrophils a person has? Did you say yes or no? Yes. So, if this is 50%, how many segs are there? 2,500. I chose easy numbers on purpose. How many bands are there? 500. So how many total neutrophils are there? 1,000. I'm glad you guys took all that fifth grade math. So we add the number of segs to the number of bands that gives us our absolute neutrophil count. So, if we want to write it as an equation, we can say WBCs times segs plus WBCs times bands. Now, how many of you have taken algebra sometime in your life? Okay, if not everyone raises their hand, they're in big trouble. So, using the distributive property, how can you rewrite that equation? What? All right, so we can pull out the WBCs and multiply it by the segs plus bands. So to find our absolute neutrophil count, you add the percentage of segs to the percentage of bands, multiply that times the white blood cell count, and you'll have your absolute neutrophil count. Now, the absolute neutrophil count is very important because if it's under 1,000, that patient is considered neutropenic. And they are considered immunosuppressed. Now, if that number is under 500, then what is the person in? Deep doo-doo. So, 1,000 is immunocompromised or immunosuppressed. 500, under 500 is severely immunocompromised. And you're going to see this primarily in patients who have either cancer, immunosuppression, transplant patients. Did you say something else?
HIV.
Now, HIV, what does HIV attack? It attacks primarily T cells and primarily helper T cells. So sometimes in HIV, they'll still have normal neutrophil counts. So there's also some drugs that suppress neutrophil counts. Now, if we wanted to increase the number of neutrophils a person produces, can we do that? Do we have that power? Do we have that power? What tells your body to produce red blood cells? Erythropoiesis. So do you think there's a chemical that controls neutrophil production? Now, it's an even easier one to remember than with erythropoiesis. It's neutrophil. Actually, it's granulocyte colony-stimulating factor. Granulocyte colony-stimulating factor. All right, next we have monocytes and macrophages, which are the ones that actually live in the blood. Monocytes. Sometimes we just call them monos for short. About 3 to 7% in the blood. They become macrophages once they reach the tissue. They arrive 3 to 7 days after injury. So they're kind of late comers, but they're the heavy hitters. Because rather than just eating one or two bacteria and then dying, they can eat hundreds before they die. They promote wound healing and clotting, and they are directed by everyone's favorite T helper 1 cells, which is attacked in HIV. They also secrete colony-stimulating factors, CSFs. So once macrophages get to the site, they're going to start releasing substances that tell the bone marrow, hey, send backup, start producing more white blood cells. And they can live for months to years. Next, we have lymphocytes. Lymphocytes, about 25 to 33% in the blood, and their primary function is to hang around sipping lattes until they get Wonder Twin powers activate. So once they get activated, then what do? If they're a B cell, what does it do? It matures into a plasma cell and produces antibodies. If it's a T cell, it's going to mature into either a helper T cell or a killer T cell. Now, they circulate not only in the blood, but also in the lymph tissue. So they just don't hang out in the blood. They hang out also in lymph tissue, lymph nodes, the spleen. They circulate. They get around, if you catch my drift. All right, thrombocytes, also known as platelets. Remember, the word thrombo means clot, and cyte means cell. So they are clot cells. Now, platelets are not true cells. They don't have any nucleus. And they're really what they are is what we call a cell fragment. So they come from something called the megakaryocyte. Mega meaning big, karyo meaning nucleus, and cyte meaning cell. So it's the big nucleus cell. And the big nucleus cell breaks up into a bunch of different pieces, and those pieces are platelets. Their primary function is to form blood clots. So they hang around in the blood, floating around, bopping along, until they detect a break in a blood cell. And then what do? They get sticky and start holding hands. And then they start tying ropes around themselves to stabilize the clot. We'll talk a lot more about these when we do clotting tomorrow or the next day. They contain cytoplasmic granules, which they release when they start getting sticky. They degranulate, and that causes inflammation to occur and also tells other platelets to come help hold the clot. They live for 7 to 10 days, and then they go away. Now, there's about a third of them are stored in the spleen. All right, that's it for the blood cells. That wasn't so bad, was it? So, what are the two basic breakdowns of blood cells? The three. Red, white, platelets. All right, red blood cells, how long do they live? 120 days, which is approximately 4 months. What organ is responsible for removing them after that time? The spleen. Liver to a lesser extent. The kidney does not filter out dead red blood cells, or else you would pee red a lot. Okay, so the spleen, and to a lesser degree, the liver. What's the purpose in red blood cells being there? To carry oxygen. And what is the way they carry oxygen? Hemoglobin. What's normal hemoglobin called? Hemoglobin A. What are the three measures of red blood cell function that we talked about? The total number, called the RBC count, the amount of hemoglobin, and then the, what you're all saying, hematocrit. All right. That's good for that. Now, so we have red blood cells, white blood cells. What are the breakdowns of the normal, what are the breakdowns of white blood cell counts? What's that called when you break it down into the different types? Differential. So the number one in the differential is neutrophils. There's two different types of neutrophils that are usually in the blood. What are they? Segments and bands. What's the difference? Bands are immature but functional. If you have an increase in bands, we call that a bands shift to the left. Increase in segs without an increase in bands, shift to the right. Okay. So bands become segs. So if you have an increase in bands, you're shifting back to the left. If you have segs only, then it's shifting to the right. Now, what happens when they're both high? What's that called? Shift to the left. Anytime bands are high, it's a shift to the left. All right, what are they primarily in charge of? Eating what? Eating bacteria. All right, then we had eosinophils and basophils. What do we need to know about those? Not too much. And as far as interpreting in red blood cell, white blood cell counts, we can mostly ignore them. All right, then we have macrophages and monocytes. What do they do in the blood? Now they're just traveling to the next spot. Then they're going to go to the tissues and mature. Lymphocytes. What are the two kinds of lymphocytes? B and T cells. And what are they doing in the blood? Waiting to be activated.